When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thing that people don't seem to understand about crypto is that it's here to stay. If you right now,
Bill,
you
I just sent you a tweet on Telegram, by the way. Pull it up real quick.
You can literally right now go on your phone, download any of these DeFi wallets, Backpack, Phantom, and within a couple minutes, anybody can be transacting in the financial system. You don't have to KYC, you don't have to submit your ID, you don't have to wait for somebody to give you approval.
Yeah, Swift and codes and all
this
other
none
bullshit.
Of this bullshit, dude. Yeah. Within two minutes, you have a USDT address. I can send you $100,000 without a middleman.
Yeah,
that's absolutely phenomenal. It's unprecedented. Ever in history, and people are turning to that because they realize that the middleman is simply trying to control the narrative, not trying 100%. To protect you.
Yep, the banks. So actually, matter of fact, I found this very interesting. Edward Snowden tweeted this today. He goes, prediction, a national government will be revealed this year to have been buying Bitcoin, the modern replacement for monetary gold, without having disclosed that fact publicly. And I find this very interesting as well, because we know that a lot of these big banks that have always said, oh, crypto is a lie, it's a scam. JP Morgans, the Goldman Sachs, all these guys that have always been like anti-cryptocurrency, right? That tell you, go ahead and invest in S&P 500. They give you that traditional bullshit financial advice. They've been buying crypto. They won't tell you that they've been buying crypto,
but they've been buying it the whole time.
Yeah. If you can pull up Luke Belmar Medium predictions 2024, actually predicted that governments would actually start beginning to add Bitcoin to their balance sheet because it's a safe haven.
Yeah.
Because what if you are El Salvador? What if you are Argentina? What if you are some European country that is still bound to the monetary policy of the United States? You have no control when the US dollar is going to print more money, or when the Fed's going to print more money and they're going to print more US dollars. So you need to find safe havens. Treasury bills are no longer really a safe haven. So you need to be in a situation where you kind of begin to limit the exposure that you have to the policy of, or the bad policy of governments. So imagine the US dollar can just continue to exist and the government can continue to print more dollars because they pay off their own debt by printing more money.
Yeah.
But what if you don't have the ability to print more dollars?
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's every other government.
Yep.
So if you go to...
And they're not the reserve dollar. Like,
they're not the reserve currency.
Only thing, I don't think people get it. Like, the only reason we're able to continue to print money and do the stupid shit that we're doing in the United States is because we are the reserve currency. Everyone does their deals in U.S. dollars for oil, but... BRICS is trying to contest
change
that right
that.
Now
yeah.
with Russia, Brazil, and
China.
All these other countries coming together, trying to create another currency to topple the U.S. dollar. Gaddafi tried to do it, actually, where he wanted to unite all of Africa, and they killed his ass. So there's many challenges to the U.S. dollar. And I'll say this, too. While we're at the time of recording of this episode right now on February 28th, Bitcoin right now is $61,296. Fucking crazy, bro. And I predict, well, you think it's going to hit
I mean,
new
yeah,
highs?
pull up the article real quick. Scroll yeah. down to money and markets. I tend to make predictions once a year. So, for example, new countries begin conversations toward Bitcoin as legal tender. So right now we have El Salvador, which legalized Bitcoin as real money, which means anytime a sovereign nation legalizes tender, the IMF has to basically say, hey, this is money. So after El Salvador did it, Bitcoin has become real money. It's no longer a what if, it's no longer a maybe. It's here to stay. Yeah. I agree with you.
And here's the thing, too. Like, I'll admit that I'm pretty biased. I'm a real estate guy. I'm not a crypto guy. Yeah. I do have crypto because I do believe in it and I think it's the future. But I mean, even as a traditional investor, whether you're a stock guy, you're an S&P 500 index fund guy, you want to be a real estate guy, precious metals, whatever it may be, I think everyone now at this point understands that if you don't have cryptocurrency in your investment portfolio, you're fucking up, because it's probably one of the best performing, actually not even.
Bitcoin
probably,
is the best performing
the best
asset
performing,
of the decade.
It is the best
hands
performing.
Down.
Yeah, it is the best performing asset class.
Well, they
far.
Said it was a scam. So, I mean, some people aren't believing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And that's fine. The people that don't believe it, you just have to look at their financial literacy and you have to look at how much they understand about history. Because when you start looking back at history, you begin to understand that the beginning of transactions was peer-to-peer. It yes. was bartering. But what happened? There was a technological limitation, because let's say you had a cow and I had three plots of land. Well, what if the three plots of land were three-fourths of a cow? There was no ability to really scale and build any sort of civilization until the introduction of coinage. And coinage wasn't just a monetary revolution. It's a technological advancement. Why? why? Because it can stand the test of time. It can be transported very easily. So Bitcoin is just a digitalization of coinage in a way that is easy to transact. If I was to take $100,000 from here to Dubai in gold bars, I would get stopped. I would get questioned.
And you'd have to declare that too.
But I don't have to do that with crypto.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to go through the middleman. Exactly. I can just have a ledger. I can have a Trezor. I can literally just move it really quickly. And what I've come to realize is they've weaponized money, right? To keep people in control. And Bitcoin is an attempt to kind of move away from that weaponization into sovereignty so that we can once again go back to bartering peer to peer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the government obviously wants to get involved in that so they can collect their little bit and then also regulate it and be like, oh, well, we're going to, you know, take our cut. Because that's the only reason why they want to regulate it, is they want to get their money too.
And think about it, not just them, but it's the banks. So for example, think about the taxation process from the moment you buy a good till the end of the transaction. I pay you for a good, I pay 7%. Now you have to pay taxes on that, right? Yep. If you use the remainder of that money to buy something else, that gets taxed. Not only does it get taxed, but there's credit card fees on every single transaction that takes place. So what happens if you get rid of these transactions, these middlemen? These people can no longer make money, which obviously is their business. People think that the business of the bank is to hold your money. No, they make money on remittances. They make money on investing the things that you deposit. So when you begin to understand the banking system, you begin to understand the scam that it is and that you don't actually need it. And Bitcoin, which is just kind of like the introductory to this entire ecosystem that is digital money, has allowed people to realize that you don't need banks. You just need technology that is fast enough, efficient enough, and trustworthy through code, because you're trusting code. You can see code. You don't have to trust a middleman. You don't have to trust an individual who usually has alternative motives.
Yeah. Not only that, I find it interesting how, you know, people trust the banks or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, because they make money off of you putting money in there. And then as soon as you give them that money, they take it and they throw it somewhere else. They're giving it to someone that wants to invest it. That's what they want to do. That's how they make their money.
That's
is giving it on interest. They make money on lending money on interest.
Yeah. So the creation of, for example, the paper money was just a proof of ownership. That's all it was. Because, for example, let's say you had $100,000 worth of tokens or coins, you would just deposit that in the bank and the bank would give you a receipt. People began to transact this receipt as the proof of money. So the fiat currency that we see today is just proof that you have money. It's no longer money. It's debt. And the moment you deposit the money inside the bank account, it's no longer yours. That's what people don't seem to understand. If you look at the terms and conditions, that's why it's FDIC insured up to $250,000, because everything else is literally seen as you lending money to the bank. That's why you get 0.01% interest, because it's a loan. And now it's no longer, the deposit is no longer seen as a deposit. It's seen as a liability. Yep. Everything that the bank holds is a liability because they're loaning out to you with interest when you deposit it in there. And then we can talk about the fractionalization of that.
Yep.
Anytime you deposit money, the bank has the ability to fractionalize that 9 times.
Yep.
So you have the printing and printing and printing of infinite money. When you begin to realize that the only allowed circulating supply through the Constitution was $300 million, everything else is fake.
Yeah.
Everything else is just printed through fractionalized reserve
banking.
Not only that,
the interesting part is like, the bank is only responsible for holding, like 2 to 3% of how much money they're supposed to be holding. So, and for all the people that say, oh no, it's my money, blah, 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 go to a bank and ask for $50,000.
Yeah, and
watch
all the questions.
Watch them shut that bank down, bro. They're going to shut that bank down to give you that, if they even have it there. You know, you will not be able to get that money out. You know, let's say I got to go buy a house or some shit, or I got to buy a car, I got to make a big purchase, whatever. And you have $50,000 in there, $100,000 in there, $20,000 in there. Let's say it's $10,000. They're going to ask you a bunch of questions. They might not be able to give you that money that day. That's the crazy part.
I agree.
And you got to hope that the money's there. Yeah. Actually, Grant Cardone went to withdraw, I think, like $1 million from the bank, and they give him hell to get it out.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it out.
Couldn't even get his own money out, bro.
$1 million.
And that's crazy. And then if you want to deposit, it's even funnier. They're going to shut the bank. If you got like $100,000, you want to deposit in there, they're going to shut the bank down and ask you a bunch of questions.